Today is Tuesday, June 25th, and we're recording the news early again amidst a thunderstorm. So if we disappear abruptly, you won't see it because this is pre-recorded.
Something else is different.
We're standing.
Oh, yeah.
Because Krista went to sleep last time.
No. I did last time, but I'm awake now.
Oh. Yeah, because we're standing.
We're also trying something different with the mics because I think my mic was the one that was the source of the hiss. Because we tried to RMA it with Shure before, and they're like, all right, send us a sample recording. So we did that, and they were like, sounds fine to us. So
YouTube.
Should just put it down in a bucket of water.
There you go. So I'm using a different mic this time, and they're using the other mics. We'll see how that goes. It might be terrible.
Last week, we broke a long trend. No Ajit Pai news. I think a lot of people felt bad about that. I know I did. But luckily this week, back on track.
Ajit Pai is still withholding facts about location data abuse from his own commissioners. So he testified before Congress that, yeah, everybody that's asked for it, we gave it to them. But then one of the Democratic commissioners was like, all right, here's a video of somebody requesting it, and here's written proof that somebody requested it. And I'm going to give you a week to correct what you said because lying to Congress is a felony.
That was the Democrats in the FCC. So they're saying that, hey, I'm an FCC commissioner. You have to give me the information. And he's like, oh, we definitely will. And then a few weeks later, they're like, no, we didn't. We didn't get anything. Not giving it to us.
How crazy is this? Like, how dysfunctional do you have to be?
Oh, well, is it dysfunctional or is it
maliciously
completely
evil?
Completely by design. Yeah. So, I mean, he knows how damaging that information would be. Come on.
He's like, was this wrong? Should we not have done this? Oh, wait, we're going to continue to do this. We don't care. It's like, let's turn this into a partisan issue. And it's like, this is not a partisan. This is just companies being terrible.
But those companies pay them, so.
Well, that's quite the accusation, Krista. Do you have some proof to back that up?
Just proof in my heart.
That's all we need, really.
Yeah.
For a while now, the big social platforms have been banning people. And they've been banning people, I think we can safely say, because of ideology. And a lot of people have said
the wrong ideology.
Well, it's the one that they don't like. And people have said this is a First Amendment issue. But is it? Because these are private companies. Who gets to say whether it is or not? Well, here in the U.S., the Supreme Court gets to say.
The First Amendment constraints do not apply to private platforms, the Supreme Court affirms. Now, this was not about anything online. This is about New York. New York gave a nonprofit entity access to set the rules for public access, like public access channels or frequencies or something. And the nonprofit was like, you cannot say certain things on the air. And so there were some producers that did a thing that got some complaints. And the public access people, I guess, issued a fine or some kind of sanctions against the producers.
They might like not allow them on the service anymore or something.
This was a 5-4. This wasn't really super cut and dry. It was 5-4 on the Supreme Court. It's like VCRs, video cassette recorders, were almost illegal 5-4.
Everything is going to be 5-4 from now on.
Yeah.
Kavanaugh wrote the decision. It was all Republicans on the 5, all Democrats on the 4.
So
as we can expect.
Yeah, the 4 said that New York having the nonprofit do stuff meant that the nonprofit was acting like a government entity. So,
even with that argument, that wouldn't apply to something like Twitter or Facebook, though.
Yeah,
because there is no implicit
government entity.
Yeah, so I don't think anybody will be satisfied. No matter which side of the fence you're on, people will still complain about this decision. But there is a Supreme Court decision, and you bet your ass that Facebook and Twitter just got a lot more bold about enforcing all those, you know, policies that they have.
Let Adpocalypse 4.0 commence, starting with this channel.
Well, maybe not even Adpocalypse. Maybe just, you know, it's like, oh, we don't want MAGA hats on Facebook. You know, you're out. It's funny because we talk a lot about the risk of Huawei, right? What are they going to do to our undersea cables? What are they going to do? They're going to backdoor our stuff. The Ukrainians are constantly attacking and trying to take over our power grids.
Well, it's a good thing that Huawei doesn't make power grid equipment.
Yeah, and just these evil, despotic governments keep attacking with hacking, and we have to defend against it.
Oh, wait. U.S. Cyber Command powers up attacks against Russia's electrical grid. So I'm reading this article, and in the back of my head the whole time is like, should this be on CNET? Should we be talking about this?
Yeah, I had that same thought. I was like...
Should U.S. Well, Cyber Command be issuing press releases that are like,
should we all know this? Yeah, they I didn't, feel like I shouldn't know this.
They didn't quite do that. This was a kind of an accident that this was released. They didn't mean to put this out there. It was somebody, I think, just gave too much information or something like that. But they did admit that they have been given the authority. Like, you don't, in the past, something like this, which kind of seems like an act of war, would need presidential approval. Like, implicit presidential approval. But no, now you just need the, was it Department of Defense?
Yeah.
Defense Secretary?
Yeah, just the Secretary's signature is like, yeah, that sounds good. This operation seems fine. Now, they were quick to split hairs on this. They were saying, we're not attacking Russia's electrical grid. We are implanting our malware in Russia's electrical grid so that should the need arise, we can shut it down.
Yeah, I'm sure that if someone did that to us, we wouldn't see it as naked aggression.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We're Huawei. Very reasonable.
Couldn't you say that's what Huawei's doing?
Yeah.
Because no one's caught them doing anything. It's just that they might give the information to China.
They might be giving us dangerously insecure stuff as a means of cutting corners, too. Like, it might... It's possible it's not malicious. It's possible. It's probably malicious.
We're all excited about deepfakes and what that might mean for the future of entertainment. But we're also worried.
Are we, though?
We're worried. Have you seen the guy from Saturday Night Live where he was doing the... I mean, that's really entertaining. You know, when he's doing the Arnold, he just turns into Arnold. But we also have to worry about the implications in terms of not knowing what the hell is real, right? Now, we've talked about that before.
Don't we already have that problem?
Well, yeah, but it's only going to get worse, right? And we've proven with Facebook and Twitter that a lot of people will just believe whatever's in front of them. They have no ability to look at context or understand even sarcasm.
I knew it. This conspiracy theory is true.
Yeah, exactly. So Congress is finally, you know, the light bulb is flickering. And it's like, wait a minute. Could this affect us?
It's like a fluorescent bulb with a bad starter. It's like Congress is now creating a moral panic around deepfakes in order to change the Communications Decency Act, Section 230. This is the section of the Communications Decency Act that says that online forums are not responsible for what their users post explicitly, which...
Thank goodness for us.
Yeah.
But here's the crazy idea is, okay, deepfakes are hard to detect, and we have to assume that they're going to get better, so over time they will get harder to detect. But somehow it's going to be on YouTube to figure out if something is a deepfake, and if not, they might be in violation of the Communications Decency Act.
That's where Congress is headed, because gosh darn it, those plucky little bastards understand technology.
Yeah, it seems an undue burden on the people who are hosting content, because...
That's what Europe did.
They don't know.
I mean, literally, the copyright directive in Europe is literally this.
Yeah, which is why we should run screaming from it here in the land of the free, but... Doesn't seem like that's what we're going to do. But some good news, although I feel like we've already reported that this has happened several times.
Yeah.
And every time it's just like, well, we did this part, but not this part. And well, but we're going to keep doing it for a little while. It's the same headline over and over.
House lawmakers demand an end to warrantless collection of Americans' data. So this is the House lawmakers are trying to defund this. But if you look at it, it says they want to stop the witting collection of Americans' data. And if you remember James Clapper's testimony before Congress, he was like, no, we do not wittingly collect any data on Americans. But then it came out that it's like we collect everything, and it just so happens that Americans' data is swept up in that. So the language here is offensive.
Yeah.
Also, it's the House, and we all know that the Senate is just going to bat that back in their face because McConnell, it guards it like a rabid dog.
Like a snapping turtle.
And he's pro...
Down in the pond.
Security slash, you know...
Cauliflower.
Alphabet agencies.
Lettuce.
Remember that thing where Huawei lost billions of dollars and they said, everybody owes us patent money. Well... Marco Rubio heard about that, too.
There's a follow-up. Senator Rubio targets Huawei over patents. So, yeah, he's just going to town. He's like, wait a minute. What do you mean American companies owe you money for patents? That doesn't sound logical.
So he wants to add an amendment to that big defense spending bill that's being worked on that says if you're on the list, like if you're Iran or North Korea or Huawei, you cannot sue for patent infringement. You're basically outlaw in the eyes of the patent courts if you're on the list.
Wow, what an amazing and free patent, public domain patent portfolio that's going to be opened up to the American public.
Well,
does this seem like China? Like some of the complaints that we had about China, it's like,
well, that's
American
what I'm
going
to say. Like, if we're going to be on a level playing field with China, don't we have to kind of do that? Because they don't care. Yeah, I don't know. It does. It makes every company have to live in fear of being put on that list because it will just put you out of business. So don't do business in China. I don't know. The housing crisis we've talked about out there on the West Coast, you got these big tech companies that move into a place and take it over, and you can't buy a house. They are shacks going for millions of dollars.
Living in a van, hashtag van life.
And Kristen wants to live in a van, but she's not hardcore enough to go through with it.
Or tiny house.
Well, yeah, I'd be okay with a tiny house. I don't think I could do a van, but my fiance has vetoed both, so.
Well, you know.
I thought you were a strong, independent woman.
If you want to live in the Bay Area in a tiny house, there's some good news for you.
Is there?
Google is pledging $1 billion to tackle the Bay Area housing crisis. I mean, how cool would it be to live in a Google-designed, you know, sleeping pod?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what they'll do here, though, when they start developing this land is they'll just pack as many tiny little houses with lawns or anything just as close as possible so they can fit as many people in and then be like, look how many people we're housing, and then, like, have a nice news article about
it. But here's
it.
The thing.
And still charge a ton of money.
They're going to lease land to developers. And I wonder what the time term of the lease is.
20 years.
I mean,
we don't know.
You move into a house, but Google technically gets it back someday.
I'm given to understand that's how things work in England, I think, or at least maybe just around London. It's like everything is leased on a 99-year basis, and actually somebody else owns the thing. Is that a thing? I don't know.
Once again, I don't think we should adopt those policies. That sounds like a terrible idea to let Google control the land. That is serfdom.
Yeah,
in every
sense
of the word.
Can you imagine if James Damore was, leasing a house from Google, and it's like he lost his job, and then they're like, "Get out." No, sir, please. I have some independent thoughts.
I just started a carrot plant.
Facebook introduced Libra.
Yeah, Libra.
Libra.
Did I say introduced it?
Introduced it.
That's
fine.
Libra.
It's fine.
And what was the wallet called? I've immediately forgotten. Who cares?
Zuckbucks.
That's what it should be called.
Calibra, I think.
Yeah.
And they're real excited about it. And a lot of people are, I think there's going to be a fervor to get in on that on the ground floor, right?
We've got so many stories about this.
Because people are looking at Bitcoin and are like, oh, I want to get in on Libra when it's 25 cents and it's going to be $10,000. But guess who doesn't like it?
Europe, turns out. Facebook token runs into instant political opposition in Europe. French finance chief says it cannot be a sovereign currency. And Germany's fervor sees Facebook becoming a shadow bank. So a lot of people in Europe are like, wait, Facebook is doing its own cryptocurrency? What? No, we need to stop this. I think Facebook's a little late to the party here. If they'd done this in 2009, no one would have cared.
Yeah. So, of course, you might ask, what's the difference between this and other cryptocurrencies? The difference is these people know that Facebook can do it, and it'll be in everybody's pocket, and it could actually work. It's interesting.
Visa's on board.
Visa, PayPal, MasterCard, several of, like, Uber and
the big shadow banks that control everything, they're on board.
They might be, but maybe only because they know they can control this one. Have you seen what Italy is looking at doing? Italy's like, we've got all this debt, so we're not creating money. All right, relax. We're not creating money. We're not doing a parallel currency, but we're going to do these other bonds that are outside of your control. We're going to pay our debt with those bonds. And
what could go wrong?
Europe is responding this similar way to them. But I remember there was an American politician who was on, giving a speech or something, and he was like, we can't let Bitcoin happen. Because they're trying to take away our control of the currency. And it's like, oh, they're so honest sometimes without reeling. It's like, yeah, that's the problem.
it's a, if you ask them, it's like, why do you do this? And it's like, is it to control the currency? And they're like, no, no, it's not. That's not why at all. And
then it's
like,
just threatens our control of the currency.
Yeah.
As the Fed gives a speech and moves the stock market to all-time highs. Like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have that. That's a bad thing. You know what else Europe hates is Fortnite.
It's true.
Fortnite makers grilled by MPs over game safety. They think it's addictive and it should be banned because it's so addictive. It's like, look, it's pushing brain, it's like pushing buttons inside children's brains. We don't know what's happening. Get it out. Get it out of here.
This really speaks to how we are viewed as, you know, like the low opinion given to people. It's like, we got to protect these morons because they don't know what they're staring at a screen, and basically it just controls their minds. They can't help themselves.
These MPs obviously never grew up with Nintendo.
Oh. So they're saying, yeah, it's addictive and somebody needs to regulate it. Now, here's the thing about it. They went to, what's the name of the Epic? Is it Epic?
I think so. That sounds right.
Epic owns that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or no, EA?
No, EA
no,
does
it's
not.
Definitely Epic.
Oh, that's the next story.
They went to Epic and they were like, spoiler. We want information about how long people are playing Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
And how much money they're spending. And Epic was like, well, I don't know anything about that, which is the deepest of bullshit. Of course they know.
They're like, the game's not addictive. And it's like, well, I mean, it probably kind of is, but like, have some self-control. Like,
oh, look, so is coffee.
Yeah.
They did say it's like, when grilled, when pressed, they were like, well, we do give parents the ability to control that. And it's like, well, if you give parents the ability to control that, then it's being tracked somewhere.
But it's a free-to-play game. They're tracking everything about it because they want to know how it's being monetized. They absolutely have that information. So that is not genuine. Both sides of this argument are assholes.
Am I the asshole? All assholes here.
Augmented reality is it's one of those technologies that has not caught on, but magically still think they have what's going to change the world. Who's to say? You know who else thinks they have what's going to change the world? The Chinese, who are stealing it from them.
Secret of Magic Leap says that ex-engineer copied the headset for China. This is a press release that is probably going to set up the defense for, oops, we spent all the venture capital and we don't have any money anymore. That would be my guess, anyway.
Now, this guy did work there.
We had so many of these this week. They didn't see it. It was
Bloomberg's like, no.
Yeah, you need a subscription.
This guy worked there, and then he left and founded a company in China, which made a very similar-looking AR headset to the Magic Leap. And a lot of the software was very similar. Down to, they used whales. Remember the whale demo?
Oh, yeah.
Where the whales were swimming in the gymnasium? Well, this guy's demo also has whales in it.
Hmm.
And Magic Leap is like, that's suspicious. So this guy says, like, you know, when I was working at Magic Leap, I just saw what amazing, like, this is going to change the world. And I thought, you know, I can do this too.
And now
exactly
China's
the
doing
same,
it.
In fact.
Well, it's not exactly the same, but it's quite similar.
Pretty similar.
For purposes of copyright, let's say that it's just different. No.
Well, like, China doesn't care. Yeah. He might as well be Huawei. He's on the list. We have, I don't know if we actually played the video here, but we've talked about the, I think it was Conan O'Brien does those, he's done several of them at this point, where he does that bit where every local news station says the same story in the same inflection with the same cadence and just overlays them over each other. And it's incredible. And it shows that the news is absolutely scripted. Well, not just in America.
Samsung's auto email signature accidentally reveals a scripted government news story. So this was to do with Mohamed Morsi's death in Egypt. It's like supposedly he collapsed in a courtroom full of people. And it was totally not suspicious the way that he died. Completely 100% 100%
natural
above
board. Causes.
Yeah, but it was scripted and there's not a lot of details. In fact, it's the same 42 word story? Yeah, they sent to all editors.
So how do we know that? Well, everybody reported the same story, but this young lady, when she was reading it,
she Ron Burgundy'd it.
Ended up with sent from a Samsung device.
Yeah.
So
oops.
Ouch. That moment of oh crap.
How long do you think it took her to realize?
Probably instantly though, in the Anchorman, He literally like goes about his day, and everyone's like, "What did you just say on the air?" And he's like, "What? What are you talking about?"
She didn't know.
It's a good plot point.
Good movie. New Zealand massacre has led to a lot of terrible things, a lot of draconian laws, a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of arguing. But arguably, this is one of the most extreme things to happen based on that.
Man who shared a New Zealand mosque shooting video has been sentenced to 21 months in prison. Philip Arps, a Christchurch businessman, sent the video to 30 people. Now, he also said some things.
Yeah, this is probably not smart. A little bit.
Well, they mentioned...
Why don't we read... Well, I guess we probably shouldn't, but yeah. He has some pretty extreme views, I would say.
He wanted somebody to put crosshairs and a kill counter overlay on it, like a video game. I don't know that he sent that with the video. It was just reported that he said that to somebody. Either way, he got nearly 2 years in prison for sharing a video online. I mean, think about that. Take all the other stuff out of it and just brass tacks. This man shared a link and got 2 years in prison.
That seems problematic.
Oh, wait. Cam.com.
He's going to prison forever. They're probably just going to kill him.
Now, some people who worked overtime after that shooting were the Facebook censors, because Facebook was adamant that it get taken down immediately anytime it was uploaded. And it was thousands of times they had to deal with it. The AI probably got some of them, but as we found out, there are buildings full of people just dedicating themselves to this. And what we're finding out now is that's a bad job.
They were on it in 30 minutes.
This article was just... atrocious.
It's very long.
It is long.
It's from The Verge. The title is Bodies in the Seats. It's talking about how Facebook censors are not in a good spot in terms of mental health, because Facebook has outsourced all of the moderating necessary for violent videos, and it's really messing up some people good.
It's not even just mental health, though. Like, there's someone who keeled over of like a heart attack in his desk.
Yeah.
They had no health services.
And where they are is so hard to get to that it took the paramedics like 20 minutes to get there, which in a metropolitan area seems like a lot.
I don't think it's hard to get to. It's that it's in an industrial park, and this business is just one of those little like pop it up and throw it in an empty building somewhere, and we don't have signage and we don't have walk-ins, and it's literally just a closet to lock people in while they look at horrors. So the ambulance couldn't find it.
This also talked about the bathrooms, which I thought, you know, I'm always going on about how terrible American bathrooms are, but it seems to make the link between if the people in an environment have terrible mental health, the bathroom is in a very bad way. And all of a sudden, I understand America a little bit more.
So yeah, these people are just, you know, they hate these jobs. One guy talked about watching people kill pets. And
there's
then,
a lot of that in this article.
Yeah, and reporting it, and then being told, well, we reported to the cops, but they're probably not going to do anything, because cops don't have time to deal with that kind of stuff. And like,
but they'd have to watch it over and over, because it kept popping up in their feed, because people were flagging it.
Now, I agree that this is a terrible job to have. But I think who they really need to blame is that one guy. You know who I'm talking about? That guy that breaks into their bedroom every morning and puts a gun to their head and says, you have to go do that job.
Oh,
do something else for a living.
It's easy for you to say, Ryan.
Killing you?
When you need the money because otherwise you're out on the street. I kind of get it. They're paying $15 an hour, which in Florida is like unheard of money. So like I can kind of see how like you might get caught in that like financial myth of like, I need to stay here even though it's literally killing me.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's they have the free will, but like I can understand how the draw of the money might keep you in a job you don't like for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, that's okay. A job you don't like. Sure.
But this is actually terrible.
Watching lizards be smashed on a sidewalk all day long?
Engagement challenge? Are you in a job that is killing you?
You don't have to ask for that.
Almost everyone in there is going to
that ease. So, Washington Post, no.
We noticed you're blocking ads.
So this is about YouTube. There's actually a lot of stories about YouTube this week. And it turns out that the feds have admitted that they are investigating YouTube because they think it violates children's privacy. And Google's approach to this in the past has basically been don't ask, don't tell. It's like, it seems like there's a lot of children using the platform, and Google by default tracks everything. So if at some point Google figures out, is this a kid, do they stop tracking the kid, or do they just not ask, or what's going on with that?
I don't know.
Well, they probably have some sort of easily dodged checkbox or something on your registration, right?
Yeah, it's like, I'm above the age of 13, right, but not really.
And if you don't check that, then you're not going to be able to watch certain content. So the kids are going to check it.
Yeah.
And there's no determining what that person is.
But also, there are problems with the fundamental way that YouTube is set up, as the Wall Street Journal tells us. It's like, YouTube weighs major changes to kids' content amid FTC probes. So, like, some of the changes here are, like, turning off autoplay, because if you leave YouTube autoplay on, you get, I mean...
Some weird, you ruin your recommendations after that.
Yeah, because, like, it's like, I'm going to leave autoplay on, and then, you know, you're working and listening to stuff, and then all of a sudden, something goes off in your brain, and it's like, what am I watching? This is crazy. Or listening to. Or
why would Peppa Pig do that?
So, yeah, they're going to change... a lot of stuff, or they say that they're working on stuff. But also, that's the same series of events that led Sundar Pichai to say something curious. Google CEO has said YouTube is too big to fix completely. Now, that's the headline. It's a little misleading. What Sundar Pichai, he did say that, but what he means is that YouTube is so big that even if they stamp out 99.999% of the deviant content, that's still going to be tens of thousands of pieces of content.
I kind of agree with him. I mean, it is so big.
Absolutely. And it's up to you to take care of your children. Here's an idea. Don't give them access to YouTube. Block it at the router.
You know, we still have public libraries. It's probably okay to turn your child loose in a public library, but not the internet.
No.
If they go to the library, they might get a hold of a copy of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the homeless people who are masturbating at the computers at the library.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a problem.
You know, well, that's a life lesson. You know?
That's a terrible life lesson.
Yeah, but the earlier they learn, Twitch has had some issues. Now, Twitch
definitely... Speaking of porn trolling...
Twitch is the kind of place you would expect to be very heavy with child viewers, right?
Yes.
And trolling.
Geared toward younger people, which makes this a little more disturbing, I guess.
Twitch is suing troll streamers over violent videos and pornography. Yeah, so this is one way to solve the problem. It's like, we're just going to...
It's not, though. Because they're suing John and or Jane Doe 1 through 100. They have no clue who these people are.
Yeah.
This was all over the Twitch subreddit. People were like, have you guys seen this porn thing that's been up in IRL for like 3 hours? Where are the mods? And it had just been going for hours, I guess.
Also, okay, what are the odds or the number of instances, let's say, underage Twitch viewer, right, accidentally sees this porn or sees it and it's like, oh, porn on Twitch.
And getting destroyed on a sidewalk.
Otherwise, doesn't have access to porn immediately on the internet.
Maybe that's going to be a plug-in. It's like you get the, like when you click onto one of those streams, it's like constantly checking to see if you can access porn websites. And if you can't, it's like.
Oh, we have to adopt the British porn filter?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait, that's foreshadowing.
That's not going to work. So I think if these kids want to see porn, and this is also true. Now, with the YouTube thing, it's kind of the other direction, right? Like it's the kids putting themselves out there. And getting creeped on.
I forgot to add it in. The UK porn thing.
It just got added today.
Oh, okay.
We're filming a little early this week.
So
because me and Wendell are both gonna be gone again.
They decided the UK porn filter thing was a bad idea. They're not gonna do it.
It's
how much money did they? That was done.
Yeah.
It's suspended indefinitely.
Yeah, because it's there were some problems with that rollout. It did not go according to plan.
Because that UI was terrible. Mm.
He says suppressing, you know, maniacal laughter.
Yeah. Well,
UI was probably the least of the problems, but
you're not gonna stop the steamroller that is internet porn. And these kids are gonna have access to it, so that's your problem.
Twitch just needs to make a separate category for it. Like,
well, they're talking about, oh, for porn, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess that's the issue is it's like, it's sprinkled everywhere. Nah, just make a category for it.
See, they can't do that because the advertisers are already.
Yeah.
Couldn't you just say, authorizing my ad for these categories and not this one? Wouldn't that solve it? I guess they don't, the optics of Disney advertising on Twitch, also has pornography, I guess.
It gets muddier, and I mean, that's why YouTube is doing what they're doing.
Yes.
So. Yeah. Of course, they could take these pragmatic approaches, but it's all down to the optics.
Yeah.
That
would look bad.
I mean,
don't care if it's actually.
It would be better
bad.
If just, you know, if you want porn, go somewhere else. But I mean, Twitch is expanding so much. It's like, why not expand that market too?
Krista, a white supremacist Nazi sympathizer didn't create a company in the 50s so that his great-grandchildren would have to see porn next to their brand name. All right? You're being unrealistic. I don't want to know, Anderson Cooper. I'm so tired of you asking.
Oh, this one was funny.
Yeah,
this one
was, well,
I couldn't decide what category to put this one in. It was all over Twitter.
Funny, sad.
Yeah.
But also goes to show you that you just... I can't.
Shame on you. Bella Thorne hits back at Whoopi Goldberg after The View host blamed her for nude photo hack. So we try to stay... This is level one. We're all about technology. We try to stay as far away from The View
and
as
other
possible.
Entertainment news as possible.
And yet here we are.
That's not news. That's opinion. So if you don't know about the story, Bella Thorne was hacked and someone contacted her and tried to blackmail her with nudes.
Well... Do we know that she just didn't get one of those spam messages that was like, hey, I've got your stuff. And then she was like, oh, no, they've got my stuff.
No, I think they showed her.
They showed her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in retaliation to that, which is kind of a good move because it's going to get out there anyway. I mean, you know, you look at the past, they always get out. She said, screw you. I'm posting the nudes and I'm going to, you know, it's like I'm going to own this. And so the ladies on The View felt that that was her fault for taking them in the first place.
Oh,
I kind of agree with Whoopi Goldberg though. Like the way she phrased it was not so much like screw her for taking, but she was like, you have to understand, if you have any kind of device that's hooked up to a cloud or anything like that, like, it's inherently unsafe. So if you're famous, especially, and you're taking photos like that, you have to expect them to eventually come out.
Well, okay, but wouldn't you say lesson learned? And she probably won't do it again, but it's still sad that it happened, rather than saying, oh, she's stupid. Look at her. She's probably stupid.
You can't decide that based on someone's
look. Look at that nose ring. Listen, I looked at those pics.
You shouldn't have. That's your disgusting, dirty old man.
And I'm just disgusted by the piercings.
Disgusting, dirty old man.
Otherwise solid, but yeah. I don't think that we can expect these young starlets to be that smart. That's not their value.
I don't think that they really care. Like, they care for the embarrassment and the optics, but beyond that, they don't care.
Her quote just went up. Probably just doubled.
I didn't know who she was until I saw the story. Yeah.
I read that name. I thought it was a porn star.
What does she do?
I don't know.
she was all over Twitter, and I was like, who's Bella Thorne? And I clicked on it and then found this article.
That's it for this episode.
That signals the end of the episode. Oh, wow. Must be 4 o'clock.
Getting all those emails from clients at the end of the day.
That's all my canceled orders because the market just closed. All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. This was government and social. Tomorrow will be business and... Oh. And I don't remember what the other one will be.
This week is weird.
It is weird.
It's also short. 33 minutes. We actually squeezed 33 minutes out of that lemon.
You guys are helping us make lemonade. Patreon. Patreon.com/level1. No.
That's a good segue. Bye.